This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, December 20th, 2012. For cycling enthusiasts who witness professional riders cruising through Montrose or Telluride this year, you may have to travel farther north in 2013. Organizers of the USA Pro Challenge announced next summer's host cities yesterday, and the city of Aspen will be a centerpiece in next year's race. As Aspen Public Radio's Luke Runyon reports, the race will snake through the mountains again next summer.
Aspen will be high profile next year as it plays host to the first 2 days and serves as the starting point. Opening day will include a circuit race through both Aspen and the neighboring Snowmass Village. The race will then move to Breckenridge, then Steamboat Springs, Beaver Creek, and Vail. There are some new communities in the mix. A leg from Loveland to Fort Collins will be a first for the three-year-old race. Racers will ride into Denver for the final day. While race organizers boast more than $100 million in economic impact, it's come under scrutiny for relying too heavily on donations from host cities, which often siphon tax dollars to pay for the event. The race's CEO, Sean Hunter, says it'll eventually turn a profit.
For a few years, we are a not-for-profit, and I'm not embarrassed to say that, but we rely on the partnership of our communities. But we're committed to this to the long term, and I think it's great for the state.
The race is set to start the third week of August. I'm Luke Runyon.
Yesterday's storm dumped nearly 20 inches of snow in northwestern Colorado. Highway 65 near Grand Mesa was closed for a few hours because of adverse conditions. In the wake of the major snowstorm, many Coloradans are feeling relieved that some moisture has finally arrived. From wildfires to ranching and farming to next year's water supplies, everyone is wondering what kind of winter Colorado is going to have. Over the next few weeks, we're taking a look at how snow, or the lack of it, will impact the state going into 2013. Tackling the issue of low water supplies and increasing demand will be a top priority for lawmakers during the upcoming legislative session. State House reporter Benta Berkland takes a look at some of the proposals being floated around and talks to state leaders about preparing for the worst.
He may not be a water expert, but Governor John Hickenlooper says there's no question another drought year like 2012 would be very hard on Colorado.
We never have enough water. I mean, the bottom line is we could use double the amount of rainfall we get every year.
And while it's too soon to predict the winter snowpack, Hickenlooper says his office is planning for a dry year.
We have to assume not being able to predict weather conditions this spring and this winter. We have to assume the worst and be prepared for another drought.
State lawmakers are also working on ways to encourage additional water conservation. Republican Senator Greg Brophy from Ray says this year's drought brought new problems, especially for farmers on the eastern plains. He says many were forced to use more water to irrigate crops than they're allocated.
Ultimately, the state has to keep farmers from using too much water. They just have to. The law says you can use this much. The United States Supreme Court will enforce the interstate compact, so we don't have a choice in the matter. The question is, how are we going to do that?
One idea is to average the amount of water farmers use over a several-year period to allow for fluctuations in drier years. Brophy is also sponsoring a bill that would stop penalizing farmers from saving water when they can. Water rights are based in part on how much water you use, so farmers don't want to conserve and see the value of their water rights go down.
Conservation and efficiency is probably one of the most important things we can do as a state.
Democratic Senator Gail Schwartz of Snowmass Village chairs the Senate Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Energy Committee. She's hoping to sponsor a bill to better protect watersheds from dead, beetle-killed pine trees and wildfires.
We know where the dead trees are. We know they are in very vulnerable areas within the watershed, and that will only, once the fire does take place, cause very serious erosion and silting in the watershed and affecting water quality.
Schwartz and other lawmakers say it's crucial to have greater flexibility within the system so water can be transferred to areas that need it the most. Jennifer Gimble directs the Colorado Water Conservation Board, which is charged with managing and preserving the state's water. She says population growth is yet another challenge.
If we keep going the way we're going, we'll have a certain gap that we need to make sure that we're meeting all the demands. And right now, we're not sure how we're going to do that. So there's a lot of discussions going on. What kind of strategies can we look at to get there? Water conservation, new supply, new projects. Is there a way to make sure we don't dry up the ag economy, but still we could use their water in dry years?
But Gimbel is quick to note that not every solution requires changes to existing laws.
It's not so much the legislation as it's the conversation that gets going and the ideas that are generated.
And water experts say Colorado is becoming more proactive and forward-thinking on water issues. The state has a new drought plan, and Gimbel says the Water Conservation Board is making sure lawmakers have the technical information they need to make wise decisions. A bigger challenge, says Republican Senator Greg Brophy, is engaging the public.
For most people, they turn on the tap, the water comes out, there's no problem. That's why it's not a hot ticket issue. Unless you make your living based on that water usage, it's probably not that big of a deal to you.
And while marijuana, education, and oil and gas are likely to grab bigger headlines during the legislative session, members of the water community say they'll be working to educate the public about just how scarce of a resource water in Colorado really is. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Owners of a small uranium mine near Nalarita want to expand. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that Nuclear-based Rimrock Exploration and Development owns the mine, which is known as the Prince Albert Mine. Mine owners want to expand the mine from 2 acres to 8 and add up to 150 drill sites over the next decade. The company has submitted the proposal to the Bureau of Land Management for environmental review. The Planet reports that the plan would also include expanding an existing rock dump and building a second, in addition to other developments. The public scoping period ended Monday. The Planet reports that some local environmental groups submitted their concerns to the BLM via letter, which centered on the mine's location and its proximity to the San Miguel and Dolores Rivers. The groups were also worried about the mine's waste rock disposal, ore storage, roads, and transportation at the site, as well as eventual reclamation. Rimrock Exploration representatives were unavailable for comment at the Planet's press time. Energy Fuels Incorporated is currently waiting to see if it will be granted a permit to proceed with its Pinyon Ridge uranium mill in Paradox Valley, which should be decided by spring. Governor John Hickenlooper is asking Coloradans to join people in Connecticut and across the country in a moment of silence tomorrow, in memory of the 26 people killed last week at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Connecticut Governor Danelle P. Molloy has asked all governors to have their states join the people of Connecticut in observing the moment of silence at 9:30 a.m. in their respective time zones. Molloy declared Friday a day of mourning in Connecticut. In a letter to governors, Molloy wrote, "Too often we focus on what divides us as people, instead of what binds us together as human beings. The sense of community that has emerged in the wake of this tragedy should not be lost as we begin to emerge from this national tragedy." Molloy also asked places of worship and government buildings in Connecticut to ring bells 26 times in honor of each person who died at the school. Hickenlooper encourages Colorado facilities to do the same if they have the capability. San Miguel County cut nearly $86,000 of funding to local nonprofit community organizations in their recently approved 2013 budget. But the Telluride Daily Planet reports that the county still approved more than $400,000 in community support requests. According to the Planet, organizations like Sheep Mountain Alliance, Smarts Park Foundation, and Second Chance Humane Society are among those that will not receive county funding next year. And, according to County Administrator Lynn Black, the funding situation will only get worse in the years to come. Black told the Planet that county officials are drafting a letter this week to nonprofits funded out of the county's general fund, telling them not to expect money after 2013. In October, the county formed a committee to explore how to trim $1.2 to $1.4 million from its budget over the next several years. The Planet reports that on Tuesday, commissioners unanimously approved a 2013 budget with a shortfall of about $1.5 million. The gap will be made up with reserves. Thus concludes the newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News.